This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If I am at home, I have school pickup and soccer, you know, soccer practices. I'm a lot more sore than I am now. But playing at this elite level is a completely different deal. I mean, you got to be spot on. I mean, these guys are too good. There are too many guys that are playing well, and I'm just not one of them.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg back together. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And that, of course, was Tiger Woods, who, when he was saying that, you know what I thought of?
What was that?
Remember the movie The Untouchables?
Was that?
With Sean Connery and those guys. The scene where they were in Canada. And the guys are coming, you know, the mob guys are bringing the booze. Anyway, they're having this fight on the bridge, and then everybody's kind of scattered. And Sean Connery goes running after that one guy, and he shoots the gun in the air, and the guy stops. He goes, enough of this running stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's where Tiger is in life. He's Sean Connery. He's got a body of work behind him. He's going to take his time. He'll make a movie here and there. But it just seemed like Tiger, he seemed mortal.
Yeah, well,
this whole comeback has been different.
But this particular layout, to be fair to him and to any of the guys that have been the weekly in and out contenders, this is just something different. I mean, it was a different animal. I don't know if I wasn't expecting a whole lot from Tiger this week.
He gave you the idea you weren't supposed to.
Yeah, I'm looking at the leaderboard now. I mean, Koepka is on there, but I mean, you go into a place that nobody has history. Nobody on the tour currently has history.
What are you saying? So then that means it's a level playing field.
It's a toss up.
And, so his game has shown this year that he should be as good as anybody else, or at least make the cut. You know, Mickelson drops 15 pounds by fasting.
Yeah, he was probably
tired. I get why he wasn't there.
He didn't make it either. But I'm
talking more about what we heard this past week from Tiger. He came on. He talked about his body. He talked about the fact that how much the Masters, you know, wore him out. Ken reminded me that he was talking this week about having this. He'd rather be spending time with his kids.
Well, because school is getting ready to start.
The point is that Tiger never surfaced his kids were earlier on, and went before this comeback. That you never heard that from Tiger.
You never heard
his life coming into what he needed to do until it all went sideways.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
But that person, this is maybe a byproduct of what we enjoyed when he made his comeback. Maybe he was enjoying it more. He showed a lot more levity. He was buddying up with some of the guys. That was a different Tiger. Well, that was the positive of it.
And with the spectators, he's been much more easy for them to as well.
Listen, the warts were shown by Tiger, and we all experienced it, and we connected with it.
That's why he's getting
the love he's getting now.
You know what I think he's waiting on? He's waiting to come back to Georgia. Because
I don't think he's waiting.
I think
probably feels comfortable there.
His last two wins have been in our state.
Well, that's true.
That's all I'm saying. Come back and because that's what his focus now is, to get himself ready to run back for the FedEx Cup. Because for all that went wrong last year, he was on that last day.
He was up for the he was up for it.
He was about to run off with the whole shoot match.
That would have been incredible.
You know?
But there's something also to be said for as far as the Open that they're playing right now. You could say that he's more focused on getting himself, if he's going to get himself ready for that particular major, next year is the one, because it's at the old course.
Right.
And he's won there before. So
he's got some history on that.
Exactly.
This is a place that they have history on, but they had 68 years since they played at this course in Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland's been going through some stuff, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, just a little bit.
just a little bit. And, of course, they all thought that Roddy, you know, this had been a great week for Rory to win it. He's coming home somewhat, and he didn't make the cut either.
Yeah.
Missed it by one. That's the worst part about it. We were talking earlier about the Braves and how this past week they were losing games by double digits almost and things like that. I would almost rather have that. I would much rather have, if when it comes to golf, have the 2 days that Tiger and Phil had where they were out by what? Phil was like at plus eight, and Tiger was plus six.
Plus seven,
something like
plus,
that. Plus you knew they weren't going to make
day.
The cut.
Right.
But Rory was right there. It's when you lose those games by one run. That's the one that eats at you.
Yeah.
You stay
yeah.
up all night long wondering, what if? Or if I'd have done this, I'd have done that. I'd rather lose by 10 runs. Then it's like, okay, well, there you go. It's just easier to take.
Yep, yep. Looking at the screen, man, we got a bear running around. Speaking of Animal Kingdom.
Uh-oh.
Chance the Snapper? The alligator they caught in Chicago.
Yeah, but that thing was about the size of a 9-iron.
But I'm just saying, who had...
It wasn't
somebody,
that big.
Somebody had a bad sense of humor, man.
Oh, yeah. Somebody got one and then, you know, dropped it in the wherever they dropped it at. They put that thing in the Chicago River to be the end of it right there. But they put it in some freshwater lake someplace. I have no idea how it lasted.
I thought about you this week. I said, they got an alligator in Chicago.
Listen, we got people. I remember seeing a palm tree up there once. It lasted about a month. Somebody brought it up, planted it, thought they could keep it for the summer, and it just didn't work.
Oh gosh!
This is what this was.
What did they do with the gator up in Chicago? What did they do?
Somebody came and got it, and they're gonna, you know, take it to wherever they feel it can live. But
He was doing pretty good on his own up there. He was finding something to snack on.
He lucky he didn't get eaten by one of them rats out of the subway. Now, that's a fight I'd have paid for. Forget about Mayweather and McGregor. If you put a rat and an alligator together in the fight, I'm paying for that. That's what I like to see. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let's switch gears. Talking about athletes who perform in individual sports. You got a big event coming here to Atlanta, and it's in a new location this year.
Yes. Well, new location, but the same location. Talking about the BB&T Atlanta Open. And all is ready for the next hour. We hope to hear from Eddie Gonzalez, the tournament director. And it's an exciting time for tennis because it comes on the heels of Wimbledon. And American players, we always ask, what's up with the American tennis players? Well, they're back on home turf, not just in the country, back on hard courts. And that's what American tennis players excel on and have their best chance for success. I think in this tournament and the tournaments we're going to see in the coming weeks leading up to the U.S. Open, we're going to see more American players getting into the quarterfinals, maybe the semifinals of some of those tournaments. And some of the guys that, you know, your Federer's, Nadal will stay away until Canada and Cincinnati. I mean, his knees want no part of hard court until he has to get ready to play New York. But Djokovic and Federer, those guys will come to play Canada, play Cincinnati, and then they'll play up in New York at the U.S. Open. But this is the start of the march on New York for the U.S. Open. Starts here this week and starts today. The qualifying rounds, I always tell people it's kids' day, the qualifying rounds, and I always say that's the best tennis of the week. I always say because these guys are fighting for every point to get into the main draw. And so today and tomorrow, you're going to see some of the best tennis. The tickets are real extra affordable, but they want the kids to come out today especially. We'll get into that some next hour.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Something we said spurred on a call from Macon.
With Macon?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to get into that whole thing with you down there. Sitting you down there. But is this T?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I was listening to you guys, and it just made me think of something. Hey, do y'all remember that commercial with Michael Jordan when he was going one-on-one against himself, the Gatorade, and it was Michael Jordan in, like, the gym clothes and the 23 Michael. And at the very end, the North Carolina Michael came in. Do y'all remember
I actually do remember that commercial. I'd forgotten about that.
Okay, well, the reason why I was listening to you guys, and I think I just want to comment and I listen to you guys. I think Tiger is a product of, it's kind of like you can't beat your own legend. And what I'm trying to say is, it's like he's a product of, I guess he's a victim of his own, that he's raised the standards so high that even Tiger can't even uphold the standard that he set.
No, I agree with what you're saying. You're saying he's a victim of his own success, and that's been said before. T, appreciate the call.
Yeah,
you're right. But he's admitted he can't be that dude from 2000.
But you know, can you go out every week and when you play not think about that? Because that's the thing. If you hadn't accomplished those things in the past, it's not what people remind you of. It's what you remind yourself of.
And the other part about that is his body reminds him of that too. Yep. He can't do the things he used to do. And what did he do during that time on a regular basis? And it would drive us crazy, the golf fans. He would change his swing. Remember that? He'd win a tournament, turn around and lose the next sex one and say, well, Tiger, what's the problem? Well, I'm changing my swing because this is what you need to do. What? It worked 2 weeks ago, man. What you changing it for?
Yeah.
He was evolving on a regular basis throughout his career because he felt like he needed to. He was thinner when he first started his winning, and he started muscling up, and, you know, so he had to change his swing. Yeah, but that – how many people have been where he is now? Are we talking just Ali? Are we talking Jordan? Are we talking Kareem?
Yeah.
Are we talking guys with a stable of championships behind them? And
then you get that second chance. You get
second. Well, I wasn't even talking about second chance, but yeah, you're right with those guys, with Ali and Jordan. But a guy who's got I mean, we're not old enough to remember Bill Russell and the Yankees that won umpteen championships, things like that.
Yeah.
But during our lifetime, a person who's accumulated a lot of championships, but as they got to the back nine, so to speak, of their careers, depending on the sport, you still expected that excellence. And if we expected it, you know they did. And what that was like to watch when it didn't happen. And they give you a taste of it from time to time.
Well, it's kind of what we saw last weekend at Wimbledon with two players who will become 38, you know, by the end of the year, in Serena and Roger Federer. You know, Federer was winning a lot of Grand Slam tournaments. He got to one point where he hit a wall and he wasn't winning any. And with that, right. is he done? And then he turns things around, heals up his body, takes a step back, comes back, and he wins more of the Grand Slam tournaments. Right. And so, to me, that's an example. That's like a second win. Men on the tennis tour used to be done at 30. You'd be 30, 32, 33. Done.
Then you had Connors come. That's the one I remember.
Well, Connors stayed out there. I mean,
he made that run at 39,
but he wasn't winning them.
No. But he was showing you glimpses of greatness. Kenneth brought up something and talked about how would we feel were Tiger to win just the majors moving forward, but not win anything else in an attempt to get to Jack. Most people, I think, Ken, wouldn't care because that's what they wanted to see.
Yeah.
You got so close to the mountaintop, and then his body and his life derailed everything. I'll tell you an example that I think of, and only because I was watching this not too long ago, and I brought up Kareem because he got, what, six MVP? People realize the championships this dude has gotten and the MVPs this dude has gotten.
The numbers with him
are incredible.
Even now, and look how long he's been retired.
I'm going to tell you the story when we come back here because we're up against it. And Russell's going to join us next Talk Football. So just remind me to get back to this, put a pin in this Kareem story.
Okay.
Because guys who tried to bring it back one more time or for those big events, and sometimes it did, and sometimes they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to get back to that. But we're going to talk football next.
Yeah.
A regular of the show, and he's going to be here throughout the football season. Russell Baxter joins us, NFL Insider next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you, with Ken on the other side of the glass on a Saturday morning. Got a little fog.
Did you continue what we named him a couple weeks ago while I was gone?
You know what? I forgot to print the T-shirts and the bumper stickers.
He is now, he's not just Ken. He's the best producer in the tri-state area, Ken.
Yes.
We got to keep that going. It's like biscuits and gravy.
We don't know what three states. You said tri-state area. Which three states?
It doesn't matter. That's for them to figure out. It's just a phrase. Everybody knows tri-state area. What you do? I bet you that our guest knows what you know. You mentioned the tri-state area. They know what I'm talking about.
You think so? I don't know. We got to bring it up. You know what? It's time for the NFL to hit the camp. You know, we got one or two teams that are already back in camp. And so we get a chance to catch things up with someone we love to spend time with during football season. Russell Baxter joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Russell, good morning. It's almost camp time. And the first thing we want to ask you, what
Tri-State
are you?
Tri-State area.
Huh?
Tri-State area.
Tri-State area.
He knows what we're talking about. Go ahead, man. Ask your question. I'm just having fun with it.
You guys have to understand where I am when it comes to the tri-state area.
I know. See, that's what I meant.
What is considered the tri-state area where you are?
No, it's just a phrase. I'm just having fun with Sam.
Well, what is the tri-state area where you are?
That's a common phrase up here as well.
That's why I did it. See, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's an homage to... It's an homage to that northern cabal, if you will.
So what?
Okay. No, I actually thought you were being serious.
What tri-state are you in? What's...
Well, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
There you go. You don't know the tri-state area? Sam, you got to get out. You got to get out of Cobb County.
You live in Cobb County. My Cobb County. Russell, what do you do the last few weeks? What have you been doing since the last time we talked? It was back in the spring.
Lots of writing.
Yeah.
Lots of podcasts.
Okay.
My co-founder and I, Julie Voigt, our PFG Vibe project has kind of taken off. We've managed to do 28 shows already.
Wow.
And pulled out a lot of really great guests. A lot of people who I've worked with over the years have been gracious enough to come on with us. Amy Trask, who, funny enough, Amy was our first guest, and Amy and I have never worked together, but she wanted to come on the show, and we wanted her to come on the show. Her insight is unbelievable. But, you know, from Ed Werder to John Clayton to Chris Mortensen to, I mean, you know, it's
name dropper.
John Salisbury.
Look at dropping name. Hey, I had Jerome Bettis on my flight on the way back here. Thank you. Hey, listen, Russell Baxter joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Before we go around the NFL and get your thoughts on some of the offseason conversations and movement and things that people have done, let's start with locally here. We had a couple guys that put their name on the bottom line, Deion and Grady Jarrett, and your thoughts on the Falcons. We know who's in the waiting, who's going to get his check taken care of, and we don't want to get into that certain wide receiver, but the way this Falcons team looks going into preseason, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are kind of what they were a year ago. And, you know, as much as any team in the league last year, they wound up suffering a devastating set of injuries early in the season. When you lose Keanu Neal and Deion Jones in the first game of the year, and then 2 weeks later lose Ricardo Allen, Neal misses the rest of the season. Allen misses the rest of the season. Deion Jones comes back and plays, I don't know what, the final five games. I just wrote about Jarrett and Jones signing these deals, which I think is outstanding. And you brought up the certain wide receiver. I'm curious to see if also Vic Beasley is on the list down the road, if they're going to. We know what the Falcons offense can do. They bounced back last year. Matt Ryan, 35 touchdowns, 7 picks. Okay. We know the weaponry they had. You know, Julio Jones led the league in receiving yards. Calvin Ridley led the team in touchdown receptions. And they did all of this without Devontae Freeman for the vast majority of the year. But it was the defense last year that, you know, big blow after big blow to them. So getting these guys sent, you know, obviously, signing long-term deals to Jarrett and Jones doesn't ensure their health, but it shows the commitment to the two outstanding players. And if you think, and that Keanu Neal's down the road, but think about it, when you can secure the middle of your defense, like Jarrett and Jones, it really sets up the foundation for the team. So to me, it's a question of health. I don't think anybody denies what this team can do firepower-wise, but you remember the heartbreaking loss in overtime at home to the Saints last year, followed by another heartbreaking loss to the Bengals at home last year. You know, they managed to get themselves back to 4-4, but, you know, they were really not themselves last year.
Yeah. Spend time on the waitforit.com hotline with Russell Baxter. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social. He is very social. Matter of fact, I see something on your social right now, Russell. Follow him at Bax Football Guru. With us being 12 days away from Broncos Falcons, it's something you have on your Twitter. Who was the best number 12 jersey wise in NFL history? Who was the best number 12? It's kind
of
a
great question, because there's so many Hall of Famers, and yet there's two guys who are currently playing in the league that aren't too shabby. And obviously Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. This is probably the one. You know, we do the countdowns all year. And this is the one I think that people probably get jazzed up more than anything else. I mean, Terry Bradshaw, Bob Greasy, Ken Stabler, Roger Staubach, Joe Namath, Jim Kelly. You know, it goes on and on and on. It's great fun. The countdowns have been very, very well received over the years. But more importantly, we are 12 days away from Canton. And Julie and I are actually going to be doing the Vibecast out there live. So we'll be at the game between the Broncos and the Falcons. We'll be at the Gold Jacket Dinner, which is a must attend if you're a football fan. And then, of course, the enshrinement ceremonies in a couple of weeks.
Wow, so you're actually going to be there. So a lot of Falcons fans are Falcons fans. You're going to the Hall of Fame. You got to look up Russell when you get up there. You know, he's going to be at the game.
And Julia and I are very receptive to having lunch and dinner bought for us.
He just thought he'd throw that out there for you, right?
By the way, y'all forgot Vince.
If you're going to come up and meet me, you might as well have some motivation. So
you guys forgot Vince Evans.
Yeah.
You said number 12s.
12s?
Yeah. Vince Evans, going back to
I guess we've got the Seahawks 12th man, too, right?
There you go.
There we go.
Russell Baxter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Couple stories in the league right now. The conversation, and I can't remember this ever happening in my lifetime. This offseason, the majority of NFL conversation I heard surround the Cleveland Browns. I mean, it's amazing what they've done and turned things around, and they've changed attitudes in that city, but are they going to be what – I mean, is this the year that they take that next step and actually become a playoff team, a perennial playoff team moving forward, or do they still have some work to do in your mind?
Well, I think they probably have some work to do defensively. Offensively, I think they have an enormous amount of firepower, very balanced. You know, the guy who's kind of the unsung part of that team, listen, they have Jarvis Landry, they have Baker Mayfield, they have Odell Beckham Jr., they have the tight end David Njoku, I think, who is former first-round pick but doesn't get enough attention. But the guy who came in there, another rookie last year who was outstanding for them, was Nick Chubb. And I think he offers the balance to what the passing game can be for that team. Now, defensively, they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points last year under Greg Williams, who, of course, you know, the second half of the year was splitting time between being the head coach as well. You know, I don't buy necessarily the, well, now everybody has the book on Baker Mayfield thing. Everybody has the book on everybody, by the way. All these books are readily available at your library, all right? but... And you look at Baker Mayfield and the kind of field general and leader that he is. And he, listen, he's still learning the pro game. There's no question about it. You know, remember at the end of the year in the week 17, they gave the Ravens fits.
Right.
And damn near knocked them out as far as winning the AFC North last year. Baker, you know, still mistakes, and that's understandable and so on. But I'm curious to see what their defense is. Myles Garrett is an outstanding talent. He can get after the passer. Very quietly, they added Sheldon Richardson to the interior of that defense. I think the Browns' success this year will all be dictated on their defense, not Beckham Jr. and not Mayfield and Landry and Chubb and all that. I think it's more, can they stop other teams? Can they, you know, you don't want to get in the habit of these 54-51 games that we, you know, we saw one last year, obviously. So I think that's the big question mark. But the AFC North, you know, looks pretty formidable. And again, and over the last decade and a half, it's been one of the most competitive divisions to begin with. But, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen the Browns win any kind of the division title. My first year attending the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremonies was 1989, guys. That also happened to be the last time the Browns won a division.
Wow.
That's also the year the earthquake ruined the World Series.
89.
Yeah.
89.
All right, you got, because I got a bunch of questions here. I don't want to step on the ones
you got
for
them. You're talking about Cleveland, talking about staying in that division. There's a lot of mystery in that division. One of them, it's Pittsburgh with the defections from that team this year. How did they bounce back from that and move forward?
Well, I think it's going to take a little getting used to not having Antonio Brown if you're Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think there's any question about it, because if you watch them over the years, there was certainly a symmetry, okay? You know, if you rarely saw Antonio Brown drop passes, okay? He made some very, very difficult catches. He made some great catches off not-so-great throws. His body control was absolutely amazing. So I think that's going to take some getting used to. I think the absence of Le'Veon Bell, Sam, is something they've already had to deal with. They didn't play with him at all last year. And James Conner stepped in and, you know, got hurt at the end here. He missed a bunch of games. He also had some problems with fumbles and so on. So, listen, again, the Steelers is about their defense. I'm still trying to figure out how this team led the league in sacks in 2017, tied for the team lead in sacks this past year. I'm sorry, league lead in sacks. Got 108 sacks the last 2 years combined. And yet they struggle to come up with takeaways. Last year they had 15 takeaways. They had 37 takeaways in their last 32 games. You know why I bring that up?
Why is that?
Because the Bears had 36 all by themselves last year.
Yeah. Really. Hey, Russell, we're getting close to it. I want to get your thoughts on two teams, both having to do with quarterbacks and your thoughts on them. One is right in your wheelhouse. Is Philly going to regret sending Nick Foles down the street? And also, what are we going to see out of the Heisman Trophy winner as he starts his career in Arizona this year?
Well, by all indications, and you know, what I've read from Larry Fitzgerald and so on, you know, this offense is very, very fast-paced, a lot more fast-paced than it was the last year. I mean, last year the Cardinals did something that hadn't been done since 1977, the Buccaneers. Finished last in total offense, last in rushing yards, last in passing yards. They scored the fewest points in the league. They were absolutely dreadful. You know, I'll be curious to see how Kyler Murray, not so much his arm, but his feet, that quickness that he has. And he's probably going to need that because I don't know how much better the Cardinals' offensive line is these days. You know, as far as you just asked me about somebody else, I'm sorry.
The Eagles. They're putting all their baskets in Carson Wentz and, you know, sent Nick Foles packing.
You know, I mean, listen, Foles was they allowed him to test free agency. They knew he wasn't going to be out there. The thing with Carson Wentz last year, what I'm curious about is, because I hear the injury-prone thing, Craig, and I don't know if I necessarily buy that. I got the sense that they rushed him back last year, and they rushed him back because Nick Foles wasn't great those first two games against Atlanta and Tampa Bay. So they brought him back in. Wentz finished with 21 touchdown passes. He had seven picks. His completion percentage was high. But once or twice during the game, he looked tentative. He didn't look like he felt the pass rush. And then by the end of the year, I mean, another injury and so on. I'm wondering, remember when Carson Wentz got hurt? He didn't get hurt in August of 2017. He got hurt in December of 2017. Okay? We saw Andrew Luck struggle the first four or five games to get back in rhythm after missing all of 2017. We saw Deshaun Watson struggle early in the year. The team got off to a bad start, and he slowly but surely. And then, unfortunately, Deshaun Watson, once he got healthy, he got the crap beat out of him, got sacked 60-something times.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, sometimes it depends on when you get hurt and how long it takes to recover. And now I think he's had a sustained time to be we see this all the time with players who suffer knee injuries. They'll bounce back the following year and play, but they're not really themselves until a year later.
We'll watch for that. We'll watch for that. Russell, we thank you for spending some time with us as we get ready to head for camp. The season is here, and my goodness.
You're gonna be with us all the time, man.
Like I said, the Falcons fans are going
to. Absolutely. And I look forward to all your listeners joining Julie and I in Canton. And, you know, we take donations as well. So.
Hey, listen.
Donations, dinners, gift cards, just bring them all.
And I have to say something to both of you.
Starbucks, here we come.
I have to say something to both of you. I was put in check by one of our coworkers here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, David Archer, former quarterback.
Yep.
He reminded me that Vince Evans didn't wear number 12.
Yeah, I didn't think he did.
Well, why are you saying something, man? You're supposed to have my back.
I didn't think he did.
Y'all just leave me 12, hanging here.
You said he wore 11.
Yes, he did. I was a number off.
Yeah.
I thought it was 12, so I apologize to everybody. I apologize, Russell. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And David Archer for listening.
Yeah. Thanks, Arch.
Yeah. I've been gone for a week.
Oh, man.
Anyway, could come to nothing else. Listen, this is the anniversary of one of the biggest days in the history of this, not country, planet.
Yes.
We're going to talk about this for a second and where you were during that time. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That, of course, the voice of Neil Armstrong. The absolute number one interview in this country since that date, and he never did an interview. He might have done a couple little things, but he, you know, he never sat down with like Oprah or Barbara Walters or nothing like that.
No,
and we lost him last year.
Wow.
He was like 37 something, and I should have looked at this, but I'm just thinking this off the top of my head. 37, okay? We're talking, isn't Dwayne Wade 37? Something like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think about some athletes that are like, they say over the hill and they're like 36, 37 years old.
No.
So I think Wade's around that age. He might not be exactly. But think about Dwayne Wade being that guy that lands on the moon.
Well, you're on the backside of your career when you get that age.
But, I got a nephew that's 37. I don't want that dude washing my car, let alone being a part of that. Gene Cernan, the guy who, if you ever saw the movie Apollo 13, was played by Ed Harris. And he got the white vest from his wife, you know, before every mission like that. He was 30, upper 30s, between 30 and 39 years old.
Okay.
I mean, the, some of the people, some of the most instrumental events in this country, longest lasting, were done by people who did miraculous things before the age of 40.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, one we lost in the 60s, it was 39 years old. That was Dr. King.
Right.
Again, what they achieved before the age 30, of 40.
Before 30.
Amazing.
Before 40 years old, yeah.
But this happening today, just, I don't know, how do you quantify it? How do you look back at it?
It's someone that grew up watching the space, because that was it. That was something you watched. It was something new, and every time it came on, it was a space launch. You watched it. It was something you had to must see.
Gravitate toward the TV.
Absolutely.
There were parties around that.
Absolutely. And that was the thing, be it from the Gemini, you know, from the Mercury.
Mercury
Gemini,
7.
The Gemini to the Apollo missions. And the mission was mandated, you know, by President Kennedy. Put a man on the moon and
bring him back safely.
Yes. Yes.
By the end of the decade. Yeah. That was the key.
And that was the thing. That was a lot of mystery, an element of danger. We had some accidents happen with some attempted launches, you know, at Cape Kennedy. We lost some astronauts. So there was always that thing, that element of danger, and it made us watch it. And always the thing when they came back. Remember, they always had to, like, splash down. Always had to splash down in some water, you know, in an ocean or something. You had to go out there and pick up what was left, a little capsule, and bring them back. But this particular mission was something that everyone had been building up for. You read about it in school. Your teachers told you about it. And I had a teacher at my house, so I didn't have a choice.
Right.
My mom loved history, and so she woke me up in time to watch it. And, you know, black and white TV, and you're watching this little...
On that massive piece of furniture that everybody had back then.
But the reception is this blurry little black and white. Okay, that's him getting out. Okay, all right. So, you know,
kids don't care, man.
You're watching. Okay, that's him. See what he's doing? I said, okay. You know, but it was a deal. It was a huge deal. It was a huge deal, and something you were watching that was something extra, super special. So I remember that very much.
Yeah, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I wanted to switch gears just a little bit, because we talked about something in the first hour that I want to make sure that we get back to, and we're hoping that at some point today or during today's game that the Braves make some acknowledgement to Hank Aaron's last home run. This is the anniversary of Hank Aaron's last home run. 755. They got restaurants out there named after it. Got drives at the old place. You know, Hank Aaron, 755 Drive or whatever. So I think that this should be something. Don't you think that this should be something that should be acknowledged today?
I think it will be mentioned. Although he didn't do it as a Brave. He did it with the Milwaukee Brewers. He had gone back to Milwaukee, obviously, where his career began, and he had a wish to finish his career there and get a chance to play in Milwaukee once again. He was a designated hitter at this stage
of
his career. And hit number 755 on this date. So I'm sure there'll be some type of mention on the broadcast today. They'll probably show it, video of it. I've seen footage of that last home run that he hit. And certainly it's worthy of a mention.
Yeah, man, they should make a big deal about it, because there's more people that feel like that's actually the home run record as opposed to what Mr. Bonds
did. I know I
did.
Do. Go ahead.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, by the way, you're going to get more of Sam and Greg. We are going to take over the hour usually occupied by Sports Insiders. We're going to continue the conversation. We got more BB&T talk, going to talk a little college football, believe it or not, and somebody who's going to give us a certain kind of insight on this Braves team. But up next, a chance at some jobs. We got a casting call. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.